I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
Did you guys hear that out there? And I was trying to sing, too. The one time I try to sing along to the theme song, it doesn't. My mic doesn't work. Anyway, this is Let's Eat In on Heritage, and I'm your host, Kathy Irway. Everyone looks like they need a coffee today. I think I do, too.
I think they're on their way, hopefully. Oh,
I hope. We've got Rachel Wharton.
Hello.
The lovely voice we just heard from Edible Brooklyn, Edible Manhattan. And a fine journalist all around. And also Matt Timms from Chili Takedown.
Hey, Kathy.
And also commercial fame now. He stars in various...
McDonald's commercials.
Yeah.
I'm the voice of God.
You're the voice of God?
You can also hear us 5 hours from now on this very station.
Ugh.
We host our own show.
I'm sorry if I just spilled your moonlighting vocation.
Oh, no. I make fun of him all the time for it.
Heritage
on our show.
Radio does not approve of me... being so That's, awesome.
We would if you donated all the money.
God,
what if you donated
really
all the money
nugget.
To this station?
Well, you gotta work.
all the money that I make.
No, we don't
as
want,
a
we
starving
don't want
actor.
McDonald's money here.
Oh.
Damn right.
You gotta, you
and
gotta,
why would
sustainable
you?
Sustainable McNugget.
He works hard for a living. Okay.
I don't work that hard. The worst part is that I was in the booth and I did my McDonald's spot. And I'm like, oh yeah, that was totally awesome. I am Mr. Actor, and it was down on Wall Street. And I walked out of the building and I walked down the street past Occupy Wall Street, and I felt like such a great guy.
I mean, certainly some people are using Occupy as a way to talk about issues
Everything.
In food. But the few times I've been. Food is not top of mind for many of the people protesting. I mean, when I was at the Occupy Times Square, many of them were running into McDonald's because it's cheap.
Ooh.
I noticed that. I mean, it's kind of depressing, but that's not everyone's.
Desperate times call for McDonald's.
Yes.
All right. Well,
We need to go. Marion Nestle's probably has already been down there.
She has actually. Heritage had a little march on. It was the good, what is it? Occupy Big Ag, I think.
Yeah.
Occupy Big Food.
I wish I had gone. It was that snowy
she
day.
She and Anna LaPay were down there.
Heritage had their own march?
Well, no, they were there to record it.
Dude.
Oh, yeah, because you can listen to it online. Heritage Radio. Yeah.
It was very snowy when I was there.
Oh, my God. I want to occupy
You can
something.
Listen to it on if you search around on Heritage Radio Network for the Occupy Big Food, I believe.
Dude, your show is so early in the morning.
Well, it's actually technically not the morning.
It's not the morning right
it's
now.
It's 1 p.m. Exactly. Wait,
not
what?
Exactly Chili Takedown time, right?
It certainly isn't, young lady.
Well, they start at 2.
Yeah, so.
The next takedown is going to start at the crack of three. I promise you that.
Okay, and that's the cookie one.
Cookies.
And what is more holiday than cookies?
Oh, my God.
Every holiday has
Did you
cookies.
Get Girl Scouts to judge it?
I didn't get the Girl Scouts to judge it yet, but I've got women from Ovenly who are going to come and judge it. The Brooklyn Bakery that you told me about, Kathy.
All right, that
there
should be
fun. They seem like cool girls. 30 contestants, 30 different kinds of cookies, and Rachel, you had the smart idea of trying to get the Girl Scouts involved. And if I can get that to happen,
maybe they can compete too.
It's a bar is the only problem. I think there's going to be some sort of problem with that.
But I'm sure one of the troop leaders would think it would be awesome.
It would be awesome. It would be metal as all hell.
And I think there is actually a subset of Girl Scouts. I don't know what they call them. I don't know, Gray Scouts, who are over 18. Can they come in the Bell House even if they can't drink?
Women Scouts.
I think there is a loophole when it comes to takedowns and children.
Well, say if you're not a Girl Scout, can you still go to the cookie takedown? Or compete in it still?
You can't compete in it because all the spots are taken, but oh my God, it's going to be the 18th.
At the Bell House.
At Bell House at 3 o'clock, and it's going to be nonstop cookies. Oh, guess what? There's going to be a Jets game on during it, so if you care about that, I'm probably going to project the Jets game.
Oh my God, our coffee's here.
We need another.
So, this is the third cookie takedown. Yeah, yeah. So we have this series now. You started with chili. There's bacon. There's...
But now it's gone national. For the past 2 or 3 years now, I've been going across the country, and I've gone to like 12 or 13 different cities last year and the year before that. And so it's really taken off. And then I'm doing an avocado tour this year, and I'm doing another bacon takedown tour.
Well, thanks for keeping it real and doing some of your best events and, you know, the longstanding ones in Brooklyn. Like, you just had the chili one.
Right.
And we're doing the cookie again.
And you promised you might judge a takedown in the future.
Absolutely.
Again. She's judged so many. Both these women have judged crazy takedowns over the years. And
I want to come to the cookie one. I feel like the cookie one would result in a pretty awesome online photo slideshow. Because you can just do the cookie. I just feel like it would be. And they've got to be over the top.
What's your favorite cookie?
Shortbread with a bullet.
Any frosting on top?
No,
or sugar?
They have a fennel parmesan shortbread at Blue Bottle Coffee of
is
all
that
places.
A cookie or
it is still a cookie because it's a sweet base. Oh. But I tasted for some reason I was all over bakeries this weekend and I tasted so many different kinds of shortbread and because you can put like grapefruit sugar on top or I mean like you can make them savory, you can make them sweet. They're so good. Chocolate shortbread's really good because it's not
grapefruit sugar.
Yeah, which they sell at Brooklyn Larder. You can just sprinkle it right on.
Wow.
And it's so easy. It's like three ingredients.
I know my mom makes shortbread every year. And it's just
so
like
does
a
mine.
Stick of butter. It's
the
so
best
good.
Shortbread I ever had was made by Matt Tilden from Scratch Bread.
Oh, yeah.
A killer one.
Really?
He might even make... I wouldn't be surprised to find out he was the guy making Blue Bottles.
I think the whole thing was butter.
Yeah.
It was just a stick of butter.
They make a burnt... They make brown butter shortbread at what is the Italian Romans, the Italian restaurant the Marlowe and Diner people.
That sounds great.
It's so good.
There's so many possibilities now with shortbread because I was at first when you mentioned it, I'm like, well, you couldn't have picked the more boringest cookie, but
no way
actually,
is it the most boringest. And plus, you can make it into a sandwich, which would be my idea.
Yeah, they do that. They're doing that at Mast, and they make a ganache. See, I went to like 100 bakeries this weekend, and so they take you know how Mast is all about the terroir of their bars, you know, so they you can get a shortbread cookie with a different ganache made from their different bars in between.
That was the winning
so
cookie.
Cool.
At the Soft Spot last week. No, there's this little bar called Soft Spot on Bedford and North 10th, and they had a little bake-off they've been doing for like years, and it was a chocolate ganache with the peanut butter, and it was
sandwich
pretty
thing.
Good.
I feel very sophisticated when I say the word ganache.
I don't like ganache though. It's just kind of chewy ganache. Sugar. I don't know. It's just there to hold things together. Right?
Can I get back to the point that my voice sounds sexier in the morning, in the early morning, like now? This is unbelievable.
Early morning.
But it sounds throatier and more full.
All right. It sounds
right,
like
Kathy?
We could have a.
Oh, I just want to say that on the way here, I learned that Santa likes bagels. Thank you, Bagel Smith. That's hilarious.
Oh, that was on the poster?
Yeah. Santa likes
Don't
bagels.
Don't tell me they have red bagels now.
I'm sure they
do.
Ew. This dude I know ate St. Patty's Day bagel, which was obviously green, and he chewed it up and he showed it to me. And ever since, I can't eat dyed food. Because of him and his stupid green bagels.
You can scratch the red velvet cupcakes right off your list.
Yeah, no, I've never been a fan because I know the trick. It's just a trick. It's nothing.
Coke, alkaline, and...
It's like a gallon of red food color.
But so they used to do it by, I think they would beet. Add something to cocoa.
It was
like Dutch processed cocoa mixed with something makes it slightly red. Isn't that the way they used to be made?
It was blood.
Can someone write in and tell us?
Well, somebody cut their finger. I'd be back.
What?
Have you really had a velvet cheesecake or velvet cupcake with beet juice?
No, because they don't do that anymore.
But they used to.
They should.
They should do it.
Yeah, it might even taste good for once.
I've got a great idea for a recipe.
Yeah.
But tell me why this won't work.
This could be a cookie, too.
No, this is a spaghetti.
Beet shortbread. That would be so bad.
Is this a good idea? Check this out visually. I'm not the cook you guys are, but I reserve some of the spaghetti and I dye it and roll it in beet juice and let it get incredibly red and then throw that little reserved bunch of beet juice spaghetti back into the regular pot and then visually you've got multicolored spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, say that again.
Would that work and look cool? Wouldn't
pasta.
That cook?
Well, they make pastas
really cool.
That are
multicolored.
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, you can make it all. You can make a spinach pasta, and then you can make a beet pasta, and you can serve it all together for a Christmas festive-looking
spaghetti. My parents sometimes host people from... They're a part of this exchange program where people from countries without very... With no political structure send them to places like Raleigh, North Carolina to see American political structure, and they always host people from crazy places, Siberia being the one I'm about to talk about. And the guy made us... He made us like lamb dumplings, and he cut up beets and boiled beets, carrots, potatoes, and he mixed it all together. And everything in the bowl was dyed pink, and I remember it so vividly because like all the potatoes got dyed pink, which is why I think it would be cool to do the pasta.
Oh, so it does work.
Yeah,
man. I mean, I know this isn't the most original thought.
Mm.
Is this your show?
No, this is good. What are some of your favorite Hanukkah? Because that's coming up for you, Rachel.
Oh yeah, I actually have to interview. I'm really nervous. I'm a half Jew from Raleigh, North Carolina. My sister and I were the only Jews in my high school growing up. My parents are from Louisiana, which makes us...
That must have been awkward.
It was more just like people thought thought we were cool, you know, because we were like different, even though we barely had any any awareness of what it means to be Jewish the way someone growing up in New York City has all, you know, there's like layers of, I mean, everybody, I mean, I think...
I didn't know you were a Jew.
Yeah, totally. Half Jew.
Oh, man.
Oh, but I'm interviewing Joan Nathan, who is like, I'm like hosting a discussion with her on the next this Thursday the 15th at Brooklyn Kitchen. And she's written the Bible of Jewish food cooking. Ha ha, okay. So I'm really nervous.
She's writing the Torah.
Yes. I got three of her books, and I just started reading them. One is, she just went to France to discover French cooking in France, and she wrote the Jewish holiday cookbook, and then she wrote Jewish cooking in America. So I'm like, they're like each like 4 inches tall.
You can have Arthur Schwartz there.
Oh, that's like, well, it's not a panel. It's more, it's like,
oh, okay.
But that would be great. He's also really cool because he knows so much about Italian food.
I also love how, it's so cool that you're having Joan Nathan, you know, real like landmark food writer, cookbook author and so forth. That so many of these people live in New York still, which is awesome.
She actually, she lives in D.C. now.
Oh, never mind.
But,
wow. Okay, so.
But I think she grew up here because in her first book, she talks about, you know, going to different places in New York City.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what her husband is also in journalism of some kind, maybe political. That might be why she's in D.C. right now.
Mm. So what are some of Joan's favorite Hanukkah, or yours? I guess that's what I was starting to get at.
You know, this is why I'm looking forward to talking with her, because in my family, Hanukkah, I mean, my family's pretty much obsessed with food, but Hanukkah was really low on the totem pole of holidays that are just about
eating.
You know, we'd make latkes, and my mom would make this awesome butter chicken.
Butter chicken?
Which is like...
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. It's oil. It's oil. You know, you want to cook everything in oil. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But we really only made latkes and handed out gelt. But, you know, for Passover, we would go all out. But Hanukkah was never about food. And that's one thing I want to talk to Joan about is if that's just my family or if in other families, it's a holiday where you really obsess over the meal and there's more tradition. Because in my family, it was latkes. And pretty much that's it.
Mm. All right. Wow. So latkes are always yummy. And you're having a latke festival as part of Edible Brooklyn's... something at BAM. And it sounds like you've caught the
cook-off bug too, because there's a latke cook-off within
December. Yeah. Oh, and that's the day after. That's December 19th.
I would have asked you to host it if it was my publishers put it together with Great Performances, which is a pretty cool catering company that has their own farm. And actually, so it's
Edible Manhattan and Great Performances,
or Edible. It's actually Edible Brooklyn because it's at BAM.
That's what I meant.
Here, I'll make a deal with you. I will host it if you promise to accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior. Lord and Savior.
Oh, man.
Right here on the show.
No. Well, that's a big question. Maybe we should wait until after the musical interlude.
I would maybe accept a latke as my personal Savior.
Figure it out. Matt, pick the song. We'll be right back.
That was your pick.
A boogie woogie break, and
Matt would like everyone to know he did not pick that song.
Sorry, that was Jack's selection. Anyway, we're here with Matt Timms from Chili Takedown and Rachel Wharton from Edible Manhattan, Edible Brooklyn, Edible Everything.
Hello.
Hey. So we were just talking about a couple of various events they have coming up, but I'm going to cut over to the best question ever, which has nothing to do with holidays, or it could be, but what is the ultimate date meal, in your esteemed opinion?
Who you can ask first? Rachel's going to have the answer at the top of her head. I have to use my brain for thinking on this one.
Okay. As opposed to...
Well, I'll tell you. I could tell you.
It's
wood chips followed by a glass of water. Because I hate seeing people eat real food on dates. Because you invariably, what if they get something stuck in their teeth? That's my paranoia that would happen to me.
But it's okay if it's wood chips. All over there.
Just picture it's something dry that then they could get out of their mouth. And you want to make out with this person, don't you?
Matt,
I don't
want to
make
so
out with lasagna mouth.
I know Matt never eats during his events. He never eats a morsel.
Certainly not.
But that's because you're too busy. It's not because you don't like to eat.
Right.
Because you're too busy, and also it's like you can't let go. You can't eat in front of other people.
No. In my defense, I've grown since then, but I still have a paranoia that none of my attendees must eat everything before myself.
Okay.
But I bring Tupperware, and I eat stuff later. But yeah, God, the idea of eating in front of a girl for the first time. Oh, I feel sick just thinking about it. Oh.
It is. Well, I mean, it's huge because when you're dating someone, you want them. Because I take food so seriously. What they eat and how they eat is so important.
Right. Well,
it's a physical necessity to eat.
So I'll have some macaroni and cheese before the date. And I'll brush my teeth.
Like people who don't want to share. Oh, it's such a big deal. It's like, oh.
This like is they like just a want whole their thing level, all themselves. Though. He doesn't want to be seen eating or see other people eating.
Over the past couple of months, we've been doing our show together, and you even did it again today. Almost every single food, there's some story. If this were a sitcom, we'd like fade back to like you being shown like the green bagel in your mouth. I feel like every single food, there's always like you always have some story about. Like when I was seven, someone
not like I don't date people who aren't comfortable with their own bodies. I dated a girl who could take a poo in front of me when I was in the shower.
Oh God. I just just watched Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay, and that's like the first scene of that movie.
Oh, God, I'm going to see that. That's top of my list.
I do want to see that, too. Well, interesting one, Matt. Now I feel a little self-conscious about eating in front of other people. and now I feel very privileged to have seen
you. No, you guys are so chill and relaxed. You're like normal people. Okay. I'm terrified of life.
Okay. Wow.
And I just had a cup of coffee.
We'll break a leg at the next audition. Rachel, what's your ultimate?
My answer is really lame because it totally depends on who you're cooking for. Mm. I mean, you don't want to blow their mind, so you kind of have to know what they like, which is usually, you know, like a meat pork, a Heritage Foods USA pork chop. I mean,
that's the usual? That's like the...
I really love pasta carbonara. Ooh. And it's so easy to make, and it's like, and if you make it in front of someone, they're kind of blown away that you did that with an egg instead of heavy cream and flour.
Yeah, and run through it a little bit with me.
Well, the way I make it, which is probably a bastardized version, although I'm sure like Italian grandmothers debate. So what I do is I cook bacon or pancetta or guanciale or whatever and render the fat and have the stuff crispy off to the side. And then I cook pasta, save a little bit of the pasta water. Then I put the drained pasta right back in the pot, throw in one whole egg, one egg yolk, and stir 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 until that's cooked. Then I add a ton of... Actually, I often add the black pepper in with the egg so that it's heated up too.
Yeah, so that's a good idea.
And then a teeny little bit of milk, like, and you don't even need that. And then I just grate a ton of cheese, usually Parmigiana, and then I put the bacon back in, and maybe like a tablespoon of the bacon fat, and that's how I make it.
That's so cool. And so you definitely stir in the pasta before the egg, and then all the stir.
Well, I'll crack an egg and then the egg yolk into a cup, add a couple of tablespoons of milk and a ton of black pepper.
Beat it first?
And beat it first. Okay. And then the second it hits, because you're basically cooking it with the hot pasta.
Yeah.
So you just stir it, because you don't, and it'll curdle. Like, it'll turn into a fluffy omelet if you don't stir it constantly. But it takes seconds. And it's like bacon, egg, and cheese on pasta. And it's so creamy and rich. And it's like this trick. And
it's a very impressive trick. Yeah.
And it just tastes so good.
Do you think you would like that, eating that in front of other people?
I could do it. I mean, it's a simple dish.
I saw you salivating about that dish.
Of course. I mean, anybody who cooks well is awesome in my book. But can I I got a quick change to my answer.
Okay.
Because I killed a deer 2 months ago, and I got all this deer meat in my freezer, and I did host a party, and a girl was there, and I made venison sausage.
You had
sausage.
A party?
Well, it wasn't a party. It was a little get-together. It was more of a double date. It was a double date!
Oh, okay.
So anyways, but it was awesome, because you take out the... you take out the meat grinder and you put in the pork fat, and then you buy all this intestine and you make, making sausage in front of a woman is smart.
I'm not going to even.
There's so many
innuendos right there.
And I mean every single one of them exactly. I mean, it's perfect. You're making little
sausage. I
recall
like the most, gut-wrenching, not gut-wrenching, but just so cringeworthy moment when I was in a sausage-making class with the sweetest guy ever, Chef Matt Greco, formerly of Chow No. 4. And he couldn't stop blushing, God bless him soul, when he was squeezing the sausage mixture into the tube that feeds it into the sausage casing, which looks exactly like, he was rolling the sausage casing onto the fitting that the sausage goes onto. And it basically looks like a condom that you're rolling onto. And just like, don't make any jokes. And we were just all cracking up because it's the most ridiculous looking thing. And of course I was like a typical sausage party. I was the only girl in this whole room full of like 12 guys that are like cracking up.
So there's all this testosterone.
Tons of
penises being made.
It was very interesting.
Bummer.
No, that was a good, I don't know.
The only thing about sausage is you can't eat it right away. You have to let it settle
for a week.
That's a bummer. Because
that wouldn't be
not a week. You can get away with a day.
Okay, a day. Anyways, not immediately.
That's true. You could make little patties from it.
Okay.
But then you wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, you would just with the sausage meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that. Love that playing with that intestine.
Yeah. It's pretty. It's fun. I mean,
it's
sausage.
So fun.
Yeah, it is really fun.
So fun. It's
you
so
have
gross.
A sausage stuffer?
Yeah, I do. Well,
you
essentially,
have a meat grinder.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, you can buy the Cuisinart version, and it's all electric. But or you can just get the hand crank. But the hand crank comes with a tube, you know, where you smush all the meat through the sieve at the front of the grinder, there's a little attachment you can get, which is a plastic dowel which steps out, and then you push all the intestine back onto it, and it works just as a
I've seen the guys from the meat hook, they didn't, I don't think they had anything. We were at some camping trip, or it was more like, it was like this thing in Maine where they teach every summer, but they didn't have the right equipment, so they cut off the top of a 1 liter bottle of soda and put that in the casing and use that as to stuff the sausage.
Oh, that's smart. Wait, the guys from Meat Hook did that?
Yeah.
But the guys from Meat Hook do have a huge stuffer.
But we were in Maine, and they were teaching like a how to be us, like 3 day class. It's really fun to watch those guys. They do not blush.
I remember you guys did that last summer. Are you gonna hold another?
Well, I just went. It's the chef. Last year, it's the chefs from Roebling Tea Room. And Caroline from Medenta. Salty went 1 year. It's so awesome. And it's not even, I mean, it sounds expensive. It's like $2,000, but that's everything for almost a week, including like swimming in a Maine lake.
That sounded really fun.
What's your favorite date food?
I don't really know. I'm trying to get all the ideas. I'm almost up to, I think it's like 80 something episode. I want to get like to 100, and then I'll count.
Then you do another book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The ultimate date meals, including the wood chips.
Yes.
Now I have to include.
You don't have to include that. I'm an idiot.
Well, I mean, it's almost like, you know, you should be arrested after one of those days, like stuffing wood chips down somebody's mouth. Terrifying.
Eat this, pretty lady.
Yeah. It just makes me think of Fargo.
Just thinking of that.
It's because I can't think fast enough. That's why I wanted you to go first.
But you make all kinds of stuff.
I know, but now I'm really impressed. You have some serious chops with the sausage makers.
And he makes his own hot sauce, which should be on shelves any day now.
Facemelterhotsauce.com.
Where do you get the sausage casing? Is this sausage maker, is that like a good idea to invest in?
Or it's so cheap.
Yeah.
$25.
I'm sure, and you can get I know you can get the casings. You can probably order them through Heritage. I don't know, but I know you can get them at Meat Hook if you wanted them.
Oh,
you can get them by the yard at Meat
and at any kind of like probably
Fleischer's
and probably any old school meat shop.
Okay, cool. And it's the crank thingamajig attached to the side of your table.
Yeah,
okay.
It just clamps to the side of your table, and you put a bowl in front
of
it.
I like the sound of those.
Push through, and I mean, people get those big mixers, and every big mixer, you know how it has that hole for the fittings, so you can
for
get
your
the electric
stand mixer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a good idea.
It does sound like a good idea. Just nobody can necessarily afford a mixer. Those are they expensive?
Yes.
Like Cuisinart mixers?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I've never
but
had
But you
them.
Don't...
They're prizes at the cookie take.
You don't have a Cuisinart?
Ooh, yeah.
A food processor?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Oh, man.
I need that.
Oh, I love my food processor. I can live without almost everything but that.
I don't bake, so I don't use a stand mixer. But
I have one, and I never... I hate using it. I use a egg beater or, like, anything but that. I hate cleaning it, so I don't ever want to touch it.
Yeah.
I love food processors, but I don't have one, so I haven't eaten hummus in 3 years.
And you make your hot sauce just
that's just making that in the bathtub.
Whoa,
it's not legal yet. I'm gonna get legal with
you're making
hot sauce.
Bathtub,
I don't even sell it right now.
Hot sauce.
Well,
exactly.
Oh, I can't wait to
boil
get
that
no,
on
I'm just kidding.
Do you and you have one recipe,
the face melter.
What?
You have one recipe. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm changing it though. I mean,
what kind of chilies do you use?
My last recipe for face melter didn't actually melt your face, and that kind of disappointed me. It was yummy, but it didn't melt your face. It was really sweet.
Well, the hard part is how you make it so hot but still tastes like something.
Well, do you guys like vinegar-based hot sauce?
Yes.
See, I don't.
What?
I don't.
Yours is just all chilies?
Well, chilies. I mean, a little bit of vinegar, but like.
But how do you preserve it?
With like salt and vinegar, they're in there. It's just not as much. Oh. It's more prevalent.
The chilies do a little bit too, right?
Peppers are a lot more prevalent.
Oh.
Hmm. And you'd sugar. Also.
I have a lot of habaneros for my roof. I don't know what to do with.
Oh. You should only make a hot sauce.
Yeah, that's a lot of habaneros. So it's like
what do you call a lot?
A few dozen.
You could make some kind of chunky, relishy thing that then you could use in any, or you could, you could preserve them so you could use them in things later on.
And then I wouldn't be able to use my hands for the rest of the
month. Yeah, you gotta use gloves. I once did that and scratched down under.
Oh, man.
Don't ever do that.
It doesn't
ruin the rest of your day. It ruins the rest of the next
2 hours. Yeah.
That would be the worst date endeavor, to make something with a hot pepper, because then you can't touch each other. Or yourself.
Use gloves. You were right, but who wants gloves on
gloves
a first
date? Gloves during a date is horrible.
Put on your gloves.
Unless you're playing the sexy nurse type of
finger
role.
Condoms. I love those little finger condoms that chefs wear when they cut a finger. Have you seen those?
I've worn those.
For what?
When you cut your finger.
They're like little finger condoms.
Oh, and you're a chef?
Yes.
Never in my life have I ever seen a finger condom.
Really?
It's necessary if you cut your finger and you have to keep on keeping on.
Oh.
Yeah. Yuck.
Yeah. Okay.
The whole gloves thing.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
And check out Chili's hyphen takedown.
No. It's thetakedowns.com.
Oh, it's thetakedowns.com now for the cookie takedown info on December 18th,
thanks.
As well as Edible Manhattan or Edible Brooklyn or something edible.
Yes.
For the Latkes Festival at BAM and other Joe Nathan talks coming up.
All kinds of stuff.
All kinds of fun stuff always going on. And we also have the Edible Brooklyn Cookbook.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually doing a signing at Sahadi's tomorrow night. If anyone wants to come by.
That's a Christmas present, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's a seriously good Christmas
present. That's a good Christmas present.
It's because Kathy's in it.
I should
and
be.
And Matt's on the cutting room floor, editing room floor.
I submitted a recipe and she said it
No, I didn't
happen.
Get to pick. We had like 150 and we had to whittle it down to 100 and I didn't get to. The test kitchen and the editors at Sterling got to whittle them down. And
Can I sign them with you? Because I really want to go to Sahadi's now and shop.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll see you guys
That'd
tomorrow
be awesome.
Night. You, me, Rachel, tomorrow at Sahadi's. Hey. See ya. Then.
Bye.
And we'll be back next week as usual. Thanks to Jack and everyone at Heritage. And that's your show.
She's telling lies and he hears them passing by. He's not a man at all.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.